Who's excited? Yeah, we're excited. We sure are. You lost an hour of sleep last night, but you're excited because in less than a month, the moon will completely cover the face of the sun in a total solar eclipse. That's why you're excited, right? Yes, yeah, so the totality of the eclipse is going to last 3 minutes and 4 seconds. Don't worry if you miss it. We'll have another one in 375 years. But a critical element of the eclipse is how you see it. So you got to get yourself some of these. Right? The lens you look through matters. We're going to look in the Bible today and learn that the lens that we see life through matters. It shapes how we see triumphs and tragedies, our wins and our wounds. The lens we look through affects how we see the major and the mundane, the woos and the poos of life. Right, so let's pray and let's ask God to shape our vision according to his word. God, we're so grateful, as we sang earlier, that we see a battle, but God, in you we have victory. That you are victorious over death and the cross. You're victorious over our past, over our regrets, over our struggles. God, you're victorious over the ways that we're wrong and we don't even know it and don't even maybe want to change if we do know it, because you are good and you're kind. But God, we recognize this morning that you are powerful, that you hold the keys of death and the grave, and life is found in you. So help us to see that this morning. Would you use me and my words in spite of me? And would the name of Jesus be lifted above all else? Amen. So our text today is John 3, verses 14 through 21. So included in those verses is John 3:16, which is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. But today we're going to take a step back and we're going to listen in on this conversation that led Jesus to speak these famous words. So our scene begins at night. Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee and a prominent religious leader, he approaches Jesus in the shadows, in darkness. We have this man with authority on a secret mission to talk with Jesus. He had heard Jesus teach, and he knew Jesus had come from God. So as Nicodemus asked Jesus questions, Jesus did as he does, and he takes these basic questions to provide deep spiritual truths. And Nicodemus couldn't wrap his head around a lot of what Jesus was telling him, so Jesus did as he does, and he related to something Nicodemus did understand. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So this is a reference to an Old Testament story that Nicodemus would have known. God's people sinned against him, so God sent these serpents whose bite would lead to death. Then God's people confessed their sin and asked God for mercy. God then told Moses, their leader, to craft a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and everyone who looked to it would be saved. So the solution to their problem was not in their works, right? It wasn't in them creating an antivenom or cleaning the bites, but looking to God in faith would save them. So Jesus used this story to connect to Nicodemus and to connect to our reality that there's a serpent whose goal is our death. Sin entered the Bible in chapter 3. That is here, right? So there's a little bit here and a whole lot left, right? It didn't take long for sin to enter the story. Our enemy, who was in the form of a serpent, he deceived the first man and woman and caused separation from God. Therefore, we define sin as anything that separates us from God. I'm a big to-do list guy. Anybody like a to-do list? If not, you should get on it and put it first on your... Now, here's the thing. Sin is not neatly contained in a not-to-do list, right? We have all the big ones up here. Don't be mean, don't hurt people, don't drink too much, eat too much, don't dance, don't put pineapple on your pizza, wear white after Labor Day, cheer for the Packers. Some of these are debatable. But sin is not just neatly packaged in a list like this, because that would be too easy. Sin is anything that takes our thoughts and our actions and our hearts further away from God. Our enemy brought sin into the world and separated us from God. And in the same chapter, God punished the enemy and said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And so our enemy actually becomes a harbinger of Jesus, right? His attack against the first man and woman actually points to the ultimate victory of Jesus when he crushes the head of the enemy. So Jesus warns Nicodemus, and he warns us, of the serpent who desires to sink his power into us and separate us from God forever. But Jesus did, as he does, and he gives us hope before showing us the problem. So we're going to read John 3, 16 and 17 now. So speaking into the darkness of the night and the darkness of Nicodemus's heart, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Maybe you've heard that verse and not this one, so pay attention to this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel. This is the good news of salvation in Jesus. So before Jesus tells us the hard reality of life apart from him, he gives us this lens to look through. He invites us to see everything through the lens of the gospel. Keep it before everything else. Look at all of life through the lens of the gospel. And I want to be very clear. So what is the gospel? As we said, we inherit from the first man and woman separation from God. This doesn't happen because we're bad people who do things on the not-to-do list. Right? That's not why we're separated. We inherit that. We are born and we are separated from God. And a relationship with God can only be repaired by faith in Jesus. God loves you. So he gave his son to pay the penalty for your sin and restore your relationship with him. This is the gospel. The book Visual Theology says the gospel, the good news, never becomes old news. We never move past the gospel, and we never advance beyond it. The gospel is not only the gateway into the Christian life, but the pathway of the Christian life. So see everything through the lens of the gospel. So sin, that is separation from God, entered the world at the beginning of the story through the serpent. And a little while later, serpents bring death to God's people. A bronze serpent was lifted on a pole, and when people looked at that pole with faith in God's promise to heal them, they were saved. Our enemy, the serpent, strikes at us and wants to confirm our separation from God. But Jesus was lifted up on a pole, on a cross, and all who look to him in faith will be saved. This changes everything. So see everything through the lens of the gospel. So Jesus starts the conversation by giving Nicodemus the solution. He says, here's the answer. It is me. In me you are saved and have life. He goes, and now let me tell you the problem. All right, Jesus states the way it is. Verse 18, Jesus says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So apart from Jesus, we are already condemned. Can I ask you a question? Am I old? Some no's, some very firm, head shakes yes. Let me ask in a way that would be a little less hurtful to me personally. I'm 40 years old. Is 40 old? I mean, everybody knows that voice and who that was. It depends on which side of 40 you're on, right? It really depends which side you're on. I'm young enough to play basketball with my son and his friends. That's not my son. That's just a hilarious video of a dad playing with his toddler. But I'm young enough, I really am young enough to play with my son and his friends, but I'm old enough that they'll pass the ball between my legs and laugh at me. Right? That happens. I'm old enough to reminisce about the good old days, and they were good. And us crotchety old men like to say, well, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus says, you're already there. Jesus says, apart from me, you are already condemned. You're not headed to a dark future. That's where you are. Apart from him, we are already condemned. And that's the way it is. So Jesus goes on in verse 19 to tell us why we need to be saved. He says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Light has come into the world, but we are drawn to darkness because darkness satisfies for a little while. It soothes, briefly. The darkness, it's entertaining. For a moment, the darkness distracts us. It numbs us until it doesn't. Right? We love the artificial, enhanced flavor of the buzz of darkness until we taste freedom. Right, we love the escape of darkness until we experience the presence of God. We love pride and gossip until we know the love of God. We love darkness until we see light. So that's why Jesus tells us in verse 20 the importance of what we value. He says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So what do you value? Your works or the works of God? Because this says when life is about us and our works, we hide. Because we're afraid of being exposed, right? We don't want anybody to see who we really and truly are. We don't want to be found out. But when we value God's works, we live in freedom. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So what do you value? Maybe a better question is, what are you defined by? Your works, like your achievements? Maybe it's your failures? Or do you value God's forgiveness and love and salvation greater than that? John 3:16 is probably the most heard verse in the Bible. We've all seen something like this, right? is probably the most heard verse in the Bible. And here's the thing, it requires a response. It is the gospel, and we must respond. We must decide if it's our truth. Ignoring the gospel is a decision to deny it. Because there's a difference between hearing about something and accepting it. Walt Whitman wrote a poem about the difference between hearing about stars and soaking in the night sky. He wrote, "When I heard the learned astronomer, when the proofs, the figures were ranged in columns before me, when I was shown the charts and diagrams to add, divide, and measure them, when I, sitting, heard the astronomer where he lectured with much applause in the lecture room, how soon, unaccountable, I became tired and sick. Till rising and gliding out, I wandered off by myself in the mystical, moist night air, and from time to time, looked up in perfect silence at the stars." There's a difference between hearing about something and making it your own. The difference between hearing the gospel and accepting it is the difference between life and death. So how do we respond to God's love? How do we accept his offer of salvation? We have to see ourselves through the lens of the gospel. You have to accept that God loved you so much that he gave Jesus for you so he could have you, have a restored relationship with you, that you could have real abundant life for you. And Jesus tells us to come to the light, to turn away from our works and towards him. That's called repentance. Turning away from our works, turning towards God's complete work. Because when our focus is on our works, whether we consider them good or bad, we are living in darkness. But turning away from that and living in God's work on our behalf leads us to living in his light. And then we are fully seen and fully known and fully loved. We repent and we find salvation, not just by agreeing with the gospel, right? Not just saying like, "Oh yeah, my grandma was that. I was born a Christian." No, you weren't. You were born separated from God. You are born condemned and already judged. So you have to see yourself through the gospel that God has saved you. So you don't just agree with the gospel, but you see everything, including yourself, through the lens of the gospel. Do you have plans for Monday, April 8th at 1:43 p.m.? For about 3 minutes, most eyes are going to be on the sky. And a crucial element of those moments is the lens you will look through. Without a protective lens, severe and lasting damage can occur. But the correct lens will allow you to see the phases of the eclipse all the way up to the moon, totally blocking the sun. And there is still time for you to order some of these paper glasses, which are fine. They're fine. But because their mom is so cool, my kids will be looking through these bad boys. My wife kept those from her childhood when she saw an eclipse. So they're like 25 years old because she's young. But my kids are going to stare right at the sun. I mean, sometimes I just go outside and stare at the sun. People go, there's the Smiths just staring at the sun. And I don't even have goggles. I just stare right at it. Because you can look at anything through the right lens. There's a reason that John 3:16 comes before the hard truths of the human problem. That is because in this life, we will always have problems. What matters is how we see them. And Jesus says, see everything through the lens of the gospel. Because when we look at the challenges of this life through the gospel, we see that this world does not have the final word. Jesus has conquered and overcome the trials and the sorrows of this world. Even death does not have the final say. When the Israelites were facing death because of the serpents, they looked to the bronze snake and they were saved. When we look to Jesus for forgiveness, we are saved. We look to him and our perspective changes. Disappointments and struggles look different through the lens of the gospel. In his book, The Green Letters, Miles Stanford says, to be disappointed with yourself is to have believed in yourself. Right? We may feel responsible for making all things right, but it was Jesus who gave himself for our sins to deliver us. You may scroll through your phone and pictures from the past may pop up and stir shame. Or stir envy from when you had a full head of hair. But those memories may come up and bring you right back to regret or shame. Look at them through the lens of the gospel. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You may be haunted by actions from your past. You may have regrets. You may have consequences that you can't change. See them through the lens of the gospel. You may have hurt people. You may have made a mess. You might be in a mess right now, but God. Aren't those the two greatest words in the life of a follower of Jesus? But God. Like maybe you're a failure. Maybe you are. Like maybe you really messed up. But God. Maybe your life is so wrecked in addiction right now and only you know about it. He knows too. But God. But God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace, you have been saved. You might be in a season that it takes everything you have just to get out of bed. It may be a miracle that you're here this morning, or that you're watching this or listening to this. You may not be sure you can make it through today. You may not be sure you want to make it through today. What if you saw just today through the lens of the gospel? What if you saw that God loves you so much that he woke you up and gave you breath? That he gave his son for you knowing what you'd walk through right now. That he is with you. That he loves you that much. The God of all creation sacrificed so he could have you. We're promised this in Psalm 23. You might be in the darkest valley you've ever known, in the shadow of death. What if you saw it through the lens of the gospel and saw that God is there with you? Are you in pain? He's comforting you. Are you alone? He's preparing a table for you. Have you been hurt or abused? He anoints your head with oil. You're in need? He fills your cup to overflow. Have you been abandoned? His goodness and his mercy follow you all the days of your life. Do you feel the attack of the enemy? Well, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So as we wrap up, I would be amiss to not say, if you know people in your life who don't know Jesus as their Savior, you need to see them through the lens of the gospel. Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? Paul was not speaking at a preacher's convention. He's talking to you. He's telling you, if there's someone in your life, so if you think we have an enemy who doesn't want this to be heard, I can yell. So, where were we? Paul was talking to you. If there's someone in your life who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, you need to see them through the lens of the gospel and tell them to do the same. And also be ready when you look at other people through the lens of the gospel for it to be drawn out of you to be a forgiving person as we've been forgiven. See everything through the lens of the gospel. When your heart breaks, see it through the gospel. When hope seems gone, see it through the gospel. When you're in a situation that is just not fair, see it through the gospel. When you suffer, see it through the gospel. When you don't know what to do, see it through the gospel, because everything looks different when we see it through the gospel. Darkness becomes light. What's broken is made whole. Even death comes alive. Right, so lift up your eyes. See everything through the lens of the gospel. Let's pray. God, thank you that you've given us the promise and the hope and the free gift of salvation in Jesus. God, before you laid out the condition we are born into, you say, here is the answer, that all who look to Jesus in faith will be saved. We thank you, God, that we can live in that hope. And I pray for anyone here this morning who does not know that, who's never accepted Jesus as their Savior, God, that according to your plan for them and your will today, that you would unsettle them, that no one would leave here with doubt. I thank you for your love that never fails. God, this world tempts us to look at so many things for hope and for answers, but God, would you be our vision?